accession number 19088, real one.
Major Cooper, real one. Where were you born, please?
In Sussex.
Whereabouts?
Hove, near Brighton.
Which year was this?
1912.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Hove?
Yes. In Brighton. I went to a prep school in Hove, and then on to Brighton College.
And how old were you when you left school?
Oh, 17 or 18.
In about 1930?
Yes, I suppose it was.
To do what?
I did what you might call odd jobs to begin with, and then eventually turned to teaching.
Where did you start teaching?
I started in the prep school that I went to, which was in Hove. And they got me going and got the feel of it. And then later on, I went to various schools, obviously, changed quite often to begin with. And I think I spent my longest spell at Sedba.
What subjects did you specialise in?
I taught English and geography.
And were you at Sedbra when war was declared?
No. Where was I when war was declared? Yes, I beg your pardon. I was. That's right. And I left Sedbra and joined the Border Regiment. That's right.
How did you feel about the news that Chamberlain had declared war on Germany?
I think there was a good deal of leading up to it. You know, it was, we just ready for it to happen at the time. Somehow or other, if I look back on it, I think we felt it had to happen. The Germans, after all, were getting closer and closer here. They were only just across the Channel.
Did you feel any sense of dismay at the news?
I don't think I did, no.
So, do you know when it was that you joined the army?
Oh, dear. No, I can't remember dates.
Or which year?
Or the year, even, I don't suppose. But if I left Sedbra as I did 2 or 3 years before the school age finished. That's getting a muddle in that way. I can't remember. I just don't know what the dates were.
Can you describe how you joined the army, please?
I came back to my home in Sussex, joined 2 or 3 friends, the sort of wartime jobs they dished out to people who didn't quite know what they were doing, like looking after children who, for instance, who were leaving their homes in London and so on. Did a lot of that for a year and a half, I think. And from that went into the military service. I think I had a choice between going north to Sedbra or going to my homeland, which was in Sussex, and chose to go north.
Any particular reason why you chose the Border Regiment rather than the Royal Sussex?
Well, I say I was connected to both. In a way, the Royal Sussex was where I had friends because I lived in Sussex to begin with. But Sedbra had much more appeal, well, I can say. I enjoyed the countryside up there and the people I enjoyed well, and I had many friends. More than I had in Sussex, really.
Can you tell me about your early days in the army, please?
I went... Sorry. I really can't remember. I must have had a spell in London when I was just a new boy in the army, so to speak. And I had a spell in London, and that's when I met one who eventually kept my wife, as I was saying to you earlier. Lynette was working there, and we met there properly. And then, already I was now qualified to wear a uniform, and went to three or four different places where it was possible to get training. Well, one was in the eastern counties somewhere, and one was right here.
In Dorset?
In Dorset, yes.
And did you join as a private soldier?
Yes. But I quite soon became a second lieutenant or something.
How did you cope with the training at first?
I think I found it fairly simple, really. It was pretty much like school life in many ways.
Were you up to the physical rigour required?
Yes. Yes. I don't think that was all exceptional, at least if you lived a fairly open-air life, as I did at Sedbergh, and hadn't bothered to go into training. I just felt I could, cope with what they asked me to do.
Did you want to be an officer?
Yes, I did, yes. I wanted to. Yes. I suppose I felt I'd be happier with a job that was leading others rather than just being led. I don't know, that sounds a bit conceited maybe, but it was the way it was, certainly.
And any experiences you can recollect in the officers' training?
Oh dear, I might, I think, some time, just offhand, I can't remember. It was fairly straightforward. We did a spell, an arduous spell of marching and going up hills and things in the eastern counties, I remember. So physically it was quite powerful. But on the other hand, teaching as I had been in an open-air school, it wasn't very different.
Any recollections of being in England before you went out east?
Well, a recollection, strangely enough, of being in this very area. I say the Germans were just across the channel. And I was with some group that went across to have a look at them, so to speak. We went across in some type of motorboat, managed to get on land and then scuttle off rather quickly, quicker than we expected, because they were much stronger in numbers than we expected. But I can remember that venture.
So this was a raid on France?
Yes, it was into France, certainly. Yes, into France, up that way a bit.
Was this a group of commandos or a group of boarders?
No, it wasn't. It was a group of young... I think we were all officers. No, not very many of us, about eight, I should think, something like that. And we had to get permission to go across the channel on an adventure of that sort. And we were foolish enough to think that we could achieve more than we did, actually. We very, very soon realised that, you know, we could get there and back without trouble, but couldn't do much more.
Was there any firing once you got there?
No, there wasn't. I don't know why, but there wasn't.
Do you remember which place in France you went to?
I can't remember the name of it, but if I went right down to the southeast of England, it was across that bit, quite a broad bit of the channel, actually. I should remember. If I looked at a map, I'd know straight away. But we didn't have much to do with the French who were living there. The ones that we did meet were saying, come on, get on with it. Get rid of these Germans for us as quick as you can. Which we did, we came home.
About how long were you there for, do you think?
Actually, in France?
Yes.
Not a full day and night, certainly. It was most of a night and about half a day, I suppose.
Were you going there to gather information or to disrupt?
We thought we were going to disrupt. We didn't disrupt very much. We just got shot at a bit. But we did collect information because there weren't regular raids over there at that time. So we collected quite a bit of information.
Were the officers who went with you all Borders officers?
No. No, they weren't, as it happened. No, there was some... couple of artillery. Yeah, I think there were, what did I say, six of us. And there were two artillery officers, four from my regiment. I can't remember more at the moment.
And do you know when it was? Was it 40 or 41 or what?
It was certainly early in the war. 41, I would think, would be a good guess.
Was it summertime or winter or what?
It was late summer. Yes, late summer.
What kind of information did you gather?
The strength of the occupation across the channel, we gathered quite a bit of. Which hadn't been realised, I think, how quickly it became strong. So we did a bit of use in that sense. We felt heroic in going, really. I'm surprised we weren't stopped from going in a way, but we did feel we got some information that was worthwhile.
What kind of craft did you go in?
Well, yeah, motor boat anyway. I don't think it was much more than a largish motor-driven vessel.
Did you have a sailor to take you across?
We had somebody who I don't know, but there was a sailor. But I think really it was left to us.
So there were no problems with the crossing and coming back?
We came back in more of a hurry than we'd like to have done, I remember. And we were lucky to get away.
Were you in uniform?
Yes. Yes, yes.
What type of weapon did you take?
I had a rifle. The officers nearly always had rifles, I think, to stop them being different from others.
Any other recollections from your days in England before you left to go to Asia?
I don't think I could think of anything that comes to mind at the moment. what did I say, it was 1941, was it?
Yes.
Yes, well, it was, I think, it was the end of 41 that I joined the Border Regiment, and we quite soon got posted to Burma, so...
Did you join, which battalion of the Border Regiment did you join in England?
The 9th, sure it was. Yes, I joined the one in England that I stayed with the rest of my career, so to speak. It was the 9th Border Regiment, yes.
Can you describe the voyage from England to the East, please?
I don't know that I can describe it in any other way, except that I can remember bits of it, and it was quite fun. It was an enjoyable one. We went through some waters that were quite dangerous, I suppose, but it didn't bother us. And we had quite a lot of arms drill and officer training, you might say, on the ship. In fact, I think it probably drilled home to me what the difference was of being a soldier on that ship journey more than the earlier stuff. And we stopped in Cape Town for 2 or 3 weeks. But not with any training while we were there. We just, went for swims and enjoyed the place, really. Got fairly well treated by South Africans. I ought to have done some prep on this, oughtn't I? Remember.
That's all right. Where did you eventually end up?
I ended up in Burma. I don't remember what the place was called. No, I can't remember what it was called. No, I could look it up for you, but it was in Burma, and we were moving south with the Japanese behind us then at that time. They were either north or east of us, I can say, and our moves were partly in order to come to grips with the people out there who were more crowded further south as we went, and partly, I suppose, we were driven by the oncoming of the Japs. We only had a smallish contingent compared to their forces at the time, but we had some what you might call ordinary wartime fighting going south in Burma, and whatever bit of land it is after that.
And what was your job with the battalion?
I had a platoon quite quickly to look after, and remained the platoon commander for quite a while. And then, with another one, became, I don't know what they called us, intelligence officers, were there? I think they were. Had to work out the maps and the distances and all these sort of things, which took quite a long time. And
which did you prefer, being a platoon commander or intelligence officer?
A very difficult question, actually. I wouldn't have thought it was, but now you asked it. I enjoyed the intelligence. I had two private soldiers who worked with me and another officer that worked with me. And to begin with, it was very interesting, different really from what I'd been doing before. So I suppose I could say I enjoyed that more than being a platoon commander, but wasn't much difference.
And what was the fighting with the Japanese like?
Dangerous. I don't know what else I could say, really. I think we had the measure of them. They did some very stupid things in exposing themselves to open fire from us, which they needn't have done at all. They weren't anything like as good as we were at fieldcraft. And I think we did quite a bit of damage to them.
You mean they were more reckless than the British soldiers?
No, I don't mean that. I think they all did the same thing at the same time, whereas the British, even the sort of private soldiers, could think for themselves. And the Japanese would assemble behind the top of a hill. We would know they were there, and then eventually they come roaring over the top. It was quite a giveaway when they did.
Were there any qualities that the Japanese soldier had which you respected or admired?
No, I don't think there were.
Did you feel any hatred towards them?
No, I didn't. Not really. I mean, they had to be killed. That was war. I didn't feel that was wrong at the time, because it was the only way we could stop them. I think when you're sort of swept up into that sort of thing, unless you have a very strong pacifist interest in yourself, and there were some that did that, remain pacifists and wouldn't shoot, certainly, and one respected it. But otherwise, I can't really imagine it now, but otherwise it seemed quite natural to be crawling around in bits of jungle, shooting anybody who came and got in the way.
But you didn't have any soldiers who refused to shoot?
No, we had a very good lot of chaps.
What were living conditions like in Burma?
Well, they varied. Say we were there towards the end of the hot season. They weren't too bad. It was countryside where almost always when we stopped we had to sort of dig some sort of thing. They wouldn't call it a trench, but some area where we could hide. I might even have a photograph of it. I've got some pictures.
Did you fall sick at all?
No, I didn't. And not many did. No, we kept very healthy.
What type of food were you living on?
Well, for most of the time we were able to use cooks who cooked soups or sausages or something like that, and did a very good job. And then, obviously, we got a bit closer to the battling, then we had to be issued with great big thick sandwiches and things we took with us when we went on a patrol or a battle of some sort.
Did you have sufficient access to water to drink?
I went on a sort of lone thing on my own with about 10 or 12 others, 10 or 12 troops. And that particular one, we were unlucky with the water. In most places, there was a stream not far away. And that particular one, we didn't find one for a couple of days, didn't find water for a couple of days. So I can remember that very well. It was very hot.
So was there anything you could do as an alternative, such as getting water from plants?
No. We didn't think of it anyway.
What did you think of the weapons which the enemy had?
I just don't know. They weren't very different in a way. They were different shaped. They had smaller swords than we did. They were corn swords. I didn't think about it, I didn't think really.
Were you satisfied with the equipment that you had?
Yes, I think we were. It was just ordinary, primitive army stuff, but it seemed to work all right.
Would you come across villagers or civilians
of
any kind?
Yes, we did. We came across quite a lot. That trip I was talking about, where there were about 20 or so of us, we several times came across villagers who were interesting to talk to and knew what was happening, you know. They didn't run around saying horrible Japanese or anything. They just knew there was a war on.
Was it possible to tell what they thought about the fighting? The different sides?
I don't think so, really, no. I mean, their ideas were only their own, and were always their own view of things, and how it affected their particular, you know, digging up their crops or whatever it was that was in being spoiled.
How were they being treated by the soldiers?
Oh, just straightforwardly, very well. Very well, we had no trouble at all.
Were you getting food supplies from them?
No. No, we didn't. No, we took, even for going away for 2 or 3 weeks, we'd take food with us.
And are there any places or events that you can recollect that happened to you, please?
I'd have to look them up in the book. I can't remember the names of places. At any rate, they wouldn't mean very much.
But I think you got wounded, did you?
Yes. I had to come home. I was badly wounded.
Had you been wounded before that?
No, I was very lucky until that one particular bullet.
Can you describe what happened when you were wounded, please?
I was moving through some ordinary scrub country with, I suppose, a platoon of spread out on either side of me. And we were doing our sort of normal patrolling, trying to find out where the enemy were, actually, at that particular time, in a rather jungly bit of land. And I was shot by a Japanese who was afterwards killed by one of my troops, and he appeared as near as that tree was. This short low, this tree here.
Well, that's about, what, 10 yards?
Yes, I think so. Well, 15 maybe. But I was just probably crawling along or walking, carrying a rifle. And he rose and fired and hit me through there, through that thigh.
That's your right thigh?
Yes.
The inside of your right thigh?
Yes, well, it went right through, actually.